AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Yeah, St. Paul Art Crawl. I saw I got the book here. Looking good. It is one of the best things they do over in St. Paul. I just love this, the art.
Local
crawl.
Art as well. Very cool.
Yeah. Ooh, that's cool. I'll have to, during the commercial breaks, maybe I'll show some of the photos here in the booklet here of some of the stuff that's around.
There you go.
Some of the artists here. So if you're watching on Facebook, hi, that's that large jar of marshmallow fluff is me, Matt McNeil. You can watch us if you go to Facebook, am950radio.com. am950radio.com is the site. This is not an Onions and Orchids to start us off with today. No Democrat of the Day, but we do have Stein coming up here in a little bit. But when you have stories like this, you know, it's little things that you have to kind of get to cover here. I mean, it's our job, really, to put the local angle and the spin on things. Peter Posse of the West Central Tribune has a report of drunken, disorderly birds in Gilbert. Not, oh, hello, but squawk. Those kind of birds.
Disorderly, drunken birds?
It is the Iron Range. I mean, come on. I mean, it's almost Wisconsin.
You sure you don't want the Onions and Orchids theme for that?
Well, I did go to Onions and Orchids to see, okay, wait a minute here. Did I miss a few here? There was one to the guy. There's only one onion in each week now, which is just, you ruined it. You ruined Onions and Orchids, but because you allowed people to put their name on there or forced them to do it. Anyway, there was ones like, for the person who took after I left my wallet in the cart at Target and you took all my money, I hope you use that for food and not booze. Like, well, you want to know one way you can prevent that from happening is not leave your wallet in the cart. I mean, I just, you know, you seem to be very angry at someone for, you know, picking up, not even stealing, picking up your discarded wallet. Anyway, no, it wasn't Onions and Orchids. The drunken birds, that is just a story. Police Chief Ty Techar wrote that the department in his Iron Range town has received calls about birds that appear to be under the influence, flying into windows, cars, and acting confused. Techar attributed the strange behavior to an early frost. Starch in the frozen berries is converted to sugar, and when they thaw again, yeast can enter the fruit, accelerate fermentation. Needless to say, the birds are getting drunk. And needless to say, we've just informed anyone in the city of Gilbert, hey, you see Martha's crab apple tree down the street? Why don't you go suck down a few of those and get drunk like the birdies? Tweet, tweet, tweet. I'm just a bird. That might lead to some fun. It is fun from the Iron Range. It is strangely warm right now. Like, and it's so damn humid out there. It's very tropical. I went down to Mississippi in December one time. It feels like that out there. It's like 70 degrees, but just a ton of humidity in the air.
What's weird is it's supposed to get down to like 38 tonight, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be down to 50 tonight, but tomorrow the only high is supposed to be 50. So it just kind of continues to drop throughout the day. And then tomorrow night, I think it's supposed to be down into the high 30s. Yeah, this is just a really weird kind of an odd duck of a day where all of a sudden it is, it's just there. So, don't be surprised when you head out the door and it's a little bit, you know, you will not need that jacket at least this afternoon. I did want to get an update here on a story we talked about before. Ashby, Minnesota. This is a little town. I believe it's less than 1,000 people up on the range. It's a farming town, and if you are ever in a farming town, they have a co-op. Now, the co-op is basically where the farmers bring their product, the grains, and they are basically from that point they are taken to market. All right, and basically any town that still functions has a co-op. I mean, I used to work in Iowa, and you know, you could have a town that has lost most of their business in their downtowns. But as long as the co-op is still going, well, guess what? You still got a town. But like a lot of things, once that co-op goes out, if the co-op goes out of business, well, you're not going to be able to recoup that. And if you remember the story, there was a guy here, Jerry Hennessy. This is a far-right conservative stooge, far-right Republican jackass, who's one of these guys that likes to, I'm a big roller, man. I'm a big roller. Well, he was a big roller, we found out, and we talked about this before, because he allegedly stole millions of dollars from the Ashby Co-op, the elevator there. But there's an update on the story. Now, the last time we checked, it was $2 million. Oh, wait, there's more. With some more reports of inappropriate spending by its former general manager, the elevator at Ashby will reopen its doors Wednesday, October 3rd, under a lease to the Wheaton Dumont Elevator Company based in Wheaton, Minnesota. The Ashby Farmers Elevator Cooperative announced the lease in a news release after a board meeting in late October 2nd. The elevator closed September 14th after learning its general manager had diverted funds to use for safaris, taxidermy, other related expenses. The company now believes former manager Jerry Hennessy stole at least $4.9 million from this co-op since 2003. $4.9 million, up from an estimated more than $2 million since 2008. Eric Algren, the company lawyer, said that the total of about $3 million were written in the past 6 years. We may be able to recover those funds. The closing of the elevator has been a real kick in the teeth for the Ashby community, said Russell Dewey, president of the Ashby Co-op board, who's been designated to handle day-to-day decisions. Yeah, it kind of is. When you lose the one thing that's keeping your town in business, the co-op, yeah, it is a bit of the kick in the teeth, isn't it? We are proud to be able to reopen the company so quickly under the new management and a great team. Meanwhile, the co-op sent members postcards on October 1st, informing them of a special meeting October 15th, where they may consider options for leasing or selling assets and dissolving the cooperative in the wake of the embezzlement scandal involving the longtime general manager. The special meeting member, conservative, far-right conservative Republican, He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. Yeah, sure he did. And basically, on the money he allegedly stole. And yeah, if they end up dissolving the co-op, goodbye Ashby. Ashby, Minnesota is not going to exist anymore. As of October 2nd, he and the research team believe they found at least $4.9 million in bad transfers. Study back to 2003, some of those involved transfers to construction companies and coded as corn and soybeans. Some appear to be for projects on Hennessy's home and land purchases. So basically, he stole from the company and just basically pocketed the money through home improvements, expansions, buying some property. Some of the unauthorized checks were for big game hunting trips worldwide. About $500,000 went to pay for taxidermy, Algren said. Still waiting for Grant County Sheriff Troy Langley. Said he's waiting for data on for a variety of places before he can say whether or not charges will be filed against Hennessy. What? All right, more on that. A few people approach us from time to time, ask why he's not in custody, Langley said. We can't arrest people on an allegation. Allegation of stealing $5 million in rural Minnesota, which might as well be $100 million. He repeated the department doesn't know where Hennessy's whereabouts is and isn't looking for him. Really? Okay, let me first say this. You suck as a sheriff. I'm just going to say it. Because is anyone listening to my voice right now saying if he had an allegation against an African-American man that he might have committed a crime but didn't have evidence, that African-American man would, for $50, would be locked up in his jail until they figured things out, right? Is anyone here doubt that? Anyone listening to me right now, that if an African American or a Native American or a Latino American was accused of was alleged to have taken $50 from the local grocery store, but they had no evidence of it, that person wouldn't be locked up in this guy's jail cell right now until we can put the facts together and figure out what exactly happened. But it's a wealthy Republican white guy who likes safaris. And I don't know where he is. Why would you want the sheriff to keep track of someone who allegedly stole $5 million? You suck at being a sheriff. I am just going to say it. You suck at being a sheriff. How do you not know where this guy is? Dear Lord. It's not my job. I don't care. I don't know, somewhere around here, $5 million. What's the big deal? He was a white guy. But if you got a minority that looks like they're jaywalking, let me know. I'll call every squad car in the county down there, and we will arrest that person. I am just, This guy destroyed this town. This guy destroyed this town. If this co-op dissolves, Ashby disappears because of greed, because this guy equated money with success to a point where he stole from a small town co-op, allegedly, for years. $5 million, allegedly, for safaris and taxidermy and his house and property, allegedly. And you pretty much know, I mean, let's put it this way. You pretty much know where the money came to and went. And yeah, you don't have maybe a file on your desk, but what did you think? Gremlins came in there and stole it dollar by dollar? That leave a penny, take a penny jar there that they have on the counter that they occasionally came in there and skim that off? Come on, man. He repeated his department doesn't know where Hennessy's whereabouts, and he's not looking for him. From the start of the investigation, Algren and the co-op had alerted the Minnesota Attorney General. Algren noted that there have been offers to purchase the elevator assets, including 300,000 bushels of permanent storage bins. The co-op appears to not to ever had an outside financial audit. This isn't, to the best of my knowledge, any legal requirement, he said. Well, maybe it should be. Maybe it should be. Just maybe. How in the world is this guy not in jail? On suspicion of committing a crime, at least on bond. Hey, Sheriff of Grant County, Troy Langley, here's a little treat for you. If the guy allegedly stole $5 million and has disappeared, you know that $5 million he allegedly stole? He could be using that to get out of the country and not be extradited back for his crimes. And then all this, there won't be any punishment at all. Is this your buddy? I mean, can we ask, is Troy Langley the Grant County Sheriff, is he friends with Hennessy and the family? In a day and age when a young African-American man, a boy, can walk down the streets coming back from a gas station with Skittles and an iced tea, and a guy who's not a cop can come up there and start harassing him and ordering him to the ground, and he says no, and he can be shot, and we will have thousands, if not tens and hundreds of thousands of people saying that black kid deserved it because he wasn't following orders from a non-cop. How in the world you aren't all off your rocker saying, how is this guy not in jail? Oh, because he's white and he's a conservative. And so down deep inside, you all are like, well, maybe I should go get a job at the co-op if it's easy enough. I can get $5 million. I could go to Vegas and be a high roller. I could get a boat. I could have another cabin. Oh, that'd be great. I could go on a safari and shoot big animals and then get them stuffed in my house and then act like a tough guy. Tough guy. God, the incompetence in conservative mindset places is beyond comprehension. But once again, black guy picks up a dime on the street, they'll have seven guns on him within 5 minutes. Unbelievable. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come back. Ellison update, as well as also an update on the polls and something that disturbs me about the upcoming election. We'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know, I purchased my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna. but it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
You don't have to be an expert camper to enjoy the Boundary Waters. Big Bear Lodge is your home away from home that still lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the owners whose priority is your relaxation. Take in amazing sunsets, stargazing, and moose viewing near the Gunflint Trail. There are free use of canoes and kayaks, guided pontoon tours, and private docks and fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 Lindale. My wife and chef Carrie and I invite you to enjoy our local seasonal fare, along with thoughtfully chosen wine and beer lists, a refreshing cocktail selection, and continued dedication to outstanding service. Nightingale's freshly remodeled patio is perfect for dinner, happy hour, brunch, and late night fun. We offer our full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
I'm John Peterson from Ferndale Market, and we are celebrating 10 years of featuring local foods at our on-farm store and providing our free-range turkeys at your favorite local restaurants and retailers. We would like to thank you for your support with an anniversary party at our farm in Cannon Falls on Saturday, October 6th. Join us for complimentary turkey hot dog lunch, local food sampling, live music, and a festive day in Cannon Falls. We're grateful for your support of our independent family farm. To learn more, visit our website, ferndalemarket.com.
Hello, Linda North of Ireland. I love Ireland. I've got friends all over Ireland. We have the St. Patrick's Day show. We have Dermot from, my friend Dermot Flanagan from Dublin joins us every St. Patrick's Day. She's actually listening to us from Italy. So, you know, it is what it is. Hi, thanks for listening internationally. We love having the international listeners there. Lori also mentioning, and basically bringing up the whole thing with Kavanaugh, is that, you know, the double standard is pretty obnoxious. It sure is. It absolutely is. The double standard is disturbing. I mean, it's beyond disturbing. It really is. Minnesota DFL party on Wednesday asked the Minneapolis Police Department to investigate a domestic abuse claim against a U.S. Representative Keith Ellison after both the city attorney and county prosecutor declined to review the report. Basically, and the reason why they both did is city attorney basically has a conflict of interest with Ellison's son on the city council, and then obviously the county attorney is basically like, well, I don't just take stuff from private investigators or private investigations and run with it. I have to have a police investigation. So the DFL is doing the absolute right thing, because Wardlow wants to try to turn this into some grand cover-up. They're going to the city of Minneapolis. Go ahead and take a look at this. And once again, if there's something there, that's there. The Star Tribune asked the Dakota County, because the prosecutes misdemeanors and gross misdemeanors, and that the allegations don't appear to be felonies. Ellison's attorney said Tuesday that county attorney Backstrom rightly determined the law enforcement has no jurisdiction because Ms. Monahan has never made a police report. An Ellison spokesman earlier referred to a previous statement that Ellison complied with the investigation fully and will do so with any other inquiries. So, once again, if he's guilty, he's not doing what guilty people usually do, and that's running high. Kavanaugh. I'm sorry. What did I say? I'm sorry. A little bit of a cough. He doesn't seem to be trying to hide. That's for sure. Julie is in Minneapolis. Julie, thanks for holding. Welcome on into the show.
Yeah, I just kind of had a question. You know, I got my presidential alert really loud on my cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, they want to protect me in case of a national emergency. Doesn't he get it that about 60% of the country thinks that he and his ilk are the national emergency?
I blocked the call. I mean, I don't need to be taking it. I blocked the call, Julie. Thank you. The president wants, oh, God, no. Right up there with spam guys and guys that are calling me up for donations for political campaign. No. I do that on my own. I do that. I don't need you calling me constantly. Seriously, I think that was the moment. I had a guy call me today who was trying to. What's the movie Boiler Room with Ben Affleck, Vin Diesel, the stockbrokers, 1990s.
Where the kids, I think it is, and I think that's the movie, where the guys are, come on, man, come on, give me $1 million, we'll invest it, man, come on. Like, yeah, like anyone that would invest with these guys would not see what's going on. I just had some guy, come on, man, don't you want a better VA loan? Come on. I'm like, no, what are, no, go away. I appreciated that call more than I appreciated the president basically interfering into my life. But hey, welcome to America. As someone posted after everything that happened yesterday, and we'll get all that stuff with Stein coming up here in a little bit, he says America is blackout drunk right now. And it is. It absolutely is. And it is because what's hilarious is you've got one political party who is seeing their grip on power starting to fold, and they're freaking out. And I mean, everything is, it's the Democrats. The Democrats made us not vote for Merrick Garland. And the Democrats made us rush through with this Kavanaugh voting. It was the Democrats. I mean, history is going to be so damn unkind to these people. If we have the ability to have history reported as fact. And one of the truth is, there is a disturbing story that came on out that makes me wonder what the hell's going on. Justin Levitt posted us basically, depending on the amount, the certainty of the amount of people voting. Gallup poll, 65 plus 82% are going to vote. 50 to 64, 69%. 30 to 49, 55%. 18 to 29, only 26%. Only 26% are saying they're definitively going to vote. Now, actually, I believe that is an increase. But can I ask the guys, you guys, the 18 to 29-year-olds, a simple question? Why, when you are looking at your life being changed dramatically, this country being changed dramatically, that your everything, you are going to be born into debt and you will die with that same debt over your head. That is the world they want. They want to take us back to a time where you were either born into royalty or you're born into servitude. And when you were born with debt already on your head. The debt you inherited from your grandparents and your great-grandparents. And that's what they want. That is, I mean, Brett Kavanaugh, people talk about abortion in his Supreme Court. The reality is this is about big business and big business having control and power over the human beings of this country. That's all this is about. They bought and paid for these congressmen and these senators to do what they want them to do. And this Supreme Court nominee is just the latest example of this. And so you have a threat to your life. I mean, your whatever the issue may be, it is a threat to you. My God, I just did the Trump list, the number one on the Trump list. Number one on the Trump list was their own admission that the world is going to warm up by 4 degrees Celsius by 2100, which means we're going to start having massive die-offs. They said this not because they want to stop the die-offs from happening, but because they don't want to enforce the fuel emission rules for vehicles and small trucks starting in 2020. That's the insanity of it all. Yet, when it comes to Sunday liquor sales, you guys are, Matt, let me give you some charts and break down why this is going to be the biggest deal ever. We have to do this. Sunday liquor sales, it is the most important issue of our time. And I just sort of said, yeah, it's kind of pathetic at how worked up you're getting at this. But you know what? I will take it. Can't you guys get as worked up if you're 18 to 29 about this election as you did about Sunday liquor sales? Is it that hard to get that excited about your rights getting eroded? Your quality of life being undermined? Is it that hard for you? Sunday liquor sales is up for discussion in Minnesota, and all of a sudden we have Mr. Smith goes to Washington with every 20 freaking year old talking about, you know, and the reality is this is here's a timeline and some charts will explain the benefits of my position here. Okay, well, how about healthcare for all? Dude, man, I'm watching Netflix. Ugh. Get registered, go vote, and then help other people vote. Because I understand you may not feel like this is important if you're 18 to 29, but for the sanctity of man, if this country is going to survive, we need to have at least 50% of the 18 to 29-year-olds voting. And if you do, the House will not only be back in the Democrats' hands, it will be such a large majority, they'll be able to do a lot of things in the House of Representatives. I will also say and add to this, KSTP has a new poll on out. This is a KSTP poll, so basically expect it to be undercut a little bit towards the from the Democrats and leaning more towards the Republicans. But the KSTP Survey USA poll shows that Dean Phillips still has a lead of 5 points over Eric Paulson, 49% to 44, 8% remain undecided. Okay. I would say that 49 plus 44 equals 93, so how you have another 8%, I mean, I'm going to guess there's some decimal points we're not reported on in the story, but... I would actually make an argument if KSTP Survey USA is reporting that, my experience has been that generally that's closer probably to 10. Doesn't surprise me, but don't take anything for granted. Don't take any damn thing. No one's won anything yet. No one has won squat yet. And whether it's the attorney general's race where your choice is Keith Ellison with the questions that are out there about him, or a guy named Wardlow, who basically is... trying to impose a far right extremist agenda on the state via the Attorney General's office, or the Minnesota House, or that one Minnesota Senate seat, which will determine who controls the Senate, the governor's races, Secretary of State, auditor. We've got both senators in the state. We've got 8 House races in the state. For goodness sakes, people, get active, get engaged. You know, all we're trying to do here is save the country. Come on. Can we get a few people on board with that? Please. Gary, real quick. We don't have a lot of time. We got to get to break because Stein's going to be coming up. Welcome on in, Gary.
This might take a little while. I'll do what I can. On Hartman today, if you heard that, they're talking about the mind of the Trump supporting women are still with him. 70%, about 20% of the people in the country are women in the country. Republican, and I imagine they're probably evangelical. They're still with Trump, 70% of them, 15% have chipped off.
Well, and Gary, I'm gonna have to cut you off there because I mean we don't really have the time to go into a long thing, especially with Stein coming in. Real quick, want to mention thanks, Todd Colid. Todd is of course been sponsoring AM950. He continues to sponsor his band Just Folk. They got a new album coming out. We're gonna have a new single hopefully on Friday from Just Folk. We'll put that one out there. Protest to Survive. I'll post that back up again later on. If you'd like to sponsor AM950, 952-946-8885 is the phone number for more information on how you can sponsor. Thanks, Todd. We do appreciate it. Looking forward to the new single coming up here on Friday. Stein will all rue the day when we come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
Thank you, Minnesota, for helping family-owned Warner Stellion become one of the most respected appliance sellers in the U.S. We believe the best way to thank you is with unbeatable savings. Now through October 15th, get free installation from our trusted specialists on select Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers, or save hundreds on a new kitchen suite. We'll help you find just the right one to complement your style. These and hundreds more unbeatable deals await you through October 15th, exclusively from Minnesota's own appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Yeah, be careful out there. It sounds like they might have some chance of showers, thunderstorms a little bit later on. Not a surprise. I mean, like I said, it's a really odd duck of a day out there. Very warm, very humid compared to what we've been having. And then a cool down coming in for the next few days. The high today is 74, high tomorrow 50, high the next day after that 53. So it's going to get cool. Actually, they are saying, by the way, Hunter, Brett, I want to let you know you were right. They're saying 38 is the low tonight. I thought it was going to just basically be continuing going down through the day tomorrow.
That's quite a drop.
Yeah, that's almost 40 points. That doesn't seem normal at all. That's what they're calling for. Programming is brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. One of my favorite places in town is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club on Moore Lake, Highway 65. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, great music. They've got, of course, great food as well. Try the steak. The New York strip is very tasty. And as well, we're all got the great walleye over there as well. You can go try that out. Fantastic music, too, and dancing. And there's nothing, if you haven't done dinner and dancing lately, yeah, that's a good thing. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club on Highway 65, more like just in the North Metro, is go to eatlocalminnesota.com for more information about that. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org is his public service show that he has down in Iowa. He joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And what's this little rumor I hear you're working on another book?
I actually have a couple that I'm working on right now. I'm finishing up one, which is a revision of a book for journalists on how to accurately cover the judicial system. And then I have another one that's coming out next year.
So, chapter one, lighting yourself on fire, because this is going to just be, it'd be easier just to burn alive than cover judicial right now.
Well, yeah, not the judiciary hearing. I'm talking about cops and courts. But the other one that comes out next year is called Born to Broadcast, The Matt McNeil Story.
Oh, I made it into the book on Husky Iowa Journal broadcasters. Oh, I'm right behind Trent. So I look forward to that book coming out. Yay.
Oh, the inside books are the ones that are going to burn you someday, but that's okay.
That's all righty. I want to start off with two things from last week. First of all, just a clarification that you, when you were talking last week about how the Democrats had kind of brought this up, there was definitely a political element, but it by no means are most of the Republicans bringing this, or most of the Democrats rather, bringing up these cases, these allegations of sexual assault by Kavanaugh, his drinking habits, his behavior for sure. A lot of them are bringing this up saying this doesn't belong on the Supreme Court. And there are some people that I think came away with the idea that we were only talking about this being political, that was the only reason the Democrats were opposing this. No, there's plenty of reasons to be against Brett Kavanaugh, correct?
Okay, a couple of things. From a political standpoint, if you believe in a more liberal, and I don't mean politically liberal, a liberal interpretation of the Constitution as opposed to a more conservative, not politically, but a strict conservative reading of the Constitution, he's not your guy, right? I mean, there are two different ways. I'm speaking as a lawyer. There are two different ways that you can interpret any bit of language, a statute of the Constitution. You interpret it broadly or you interpret it narrowly. Kavanaugh will interpret it narrowly. Most affiliated with the Democratic Party would interpret things more broadly. So you've got a fundamental distinction right there that has nothing to do with character, that has nothing to do with bad behavior. So you have reasons to be concerned about any nominee because of their judicial philosophy. Okay, that's the fundamental point. Now, with regard to the politicizing of it, I think it is fair to say that Senator Feinstein held a document, and I don't know that any other Democrat knew about it. Okay, so was there a politicizing of the timing of this? Potentially, but put that in a box over here. Even those who are the most strident Kavanaugh supporters have said, okay, well, now that we know about this, we don't like the way it came about. You should have said something sooner, ma'am, et cetera, sooner being Senator Feinstein, not Dr. Ford. But since you didn't, we can't just ignore it. And so that's why this continues to go on. No, the politicizing where I feel Dr. Ford has been victimized, it knows no party bounds. Well, I mean, I don't care for that part of it at all. But in terms of that these are manufactured by Democrats, clearly not. Look, when she testified last week, to me, it is pretty clear you have an individual who is convinced something happened to her. And I say that because she has pointed out about repressed memory, et cetera. She believes something happened to her.
And was talking about it in 2012, rather.
And I don't think there's any doubt about that. Now, is she solid on some of the details at this point? Well, you have to understand all of the repressed memory syndrome to understand some of that. And is she right in terms of naming who the accuser is? I don't know. But what I do know is she deserved to be heard, and I think she has deserved a better fate than she has gotten across the board. And well, nobody should be threatened, whether they are a nominee, a member of the Senate, or somebody who's already a victim of sexual assault.
And we'll get to Trump and what he did and then this entire dog and pony show FBI investigation in a second. But I also want to go back to talk about Grassley, because you were making a point about Chuck Grassley. That you didn't feel, you felt as if there were some attempts by him to not make this political. I'm sorry, after Thursday and Friday of last week, how anyone can look at Chuck Grassley and not just say, I mean, he's a lot like Lindsey Graham. There were times where Lindsey Graham used to say things that I, to a point, agreed with. At this point, Chuck Grassley is so firmly, I mean, when you look at the entire process, and you've talked about 2016 and Merrick Garland, the Republicans were the first ones to hold up a nomination, not even meet with the guy. And you've said it. They could have met with him, had the committee conference hearings, voted on him, voted him down, and nothing would have happened. Their mistake was to completely not meet this. And then this unbelievable rush job. And you look at McConnell right now. I mean, there was no doubt that whatever Dr. Ford said, they didn't care. They were still going to vote on her on Friday. They all went out and defended him, even though there were some pretty solid and credible allegations against him. It took Flake and Murkowski basically flipping on the rest of the Republicans and saying, we better investigate this because I don't want this to come back and bite him. But at the same time, Grassley's pushing this through, his reluctance, his tone today about hand over all your therapist's notes. My God. I mean, Chuck Grassley has become just another Trump stooge, and all he cares about is what his party can get and his ideology can get, not about whether or not he's doing the right thing. And I will die on that hill.
I spoke to him at length on Tuesday. In an interview. So it's not like we're buddies and we're just catching up. I spoke to him in an interview on the radio for 13 minutes on Tuesday. And I was not comfortable 2 years ago when I said to him, again, in an interview setting, this is all on the record. Anybody listening to my station would have heard it. I said, why are you not giving him a hearing? And he said at the time, the votes are not there to confirm. So why waste our time? We should spend our time on something that we might be able to get past. Now, off here, and I'm gesturing, off here, way over here, when you silo that out, okay, it makes sense. Let's not, you know, just go on a fool's errand. Except there's a process to be done. And I was surprised at the time that he did not have the hearing. And I said that then. I say it now. I would say it to him if I see him at the restaurant. Because, again, we're buddies, right? No, we are not buddies. You can't say anything today, but anyway, okay. When I asked, this is what bothers me, and this is the duplicity of the whole thing, okay? And I think this is to your point. He didn't want to have hearings, and his party didn't want to have hearings 2 years ago because they didn't have the votes. They hadn't heard anything from a nominee, right? Now, Grassley was one of those who voted against him for the federal bench. Just like there were probably, I'm sure, there were Democrats who voted against Kavanaugh. So here you get to 2018, and you have some Republicans who say, we have not had hearings, but by gosh, he's our man. And you have some who say, we haven't had hearings, but he's the most horrible person ever. There are those on each side of this spectrum who are convinced going in. But what I'm looking at are the people who are not as rigid on it. For example, U.S. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa said today she was inclined to vote for him but had to see the FBI report first. Now, that is not the same doctrinal, by gosh, we're going forward. And especially the pressure on the FBI agents in doing this is remarkable, especially when you have Senator McConnell, as you mentioned, saying we're going to vote on this this week. Really? Yeah. It's Wednesday. And supposedly now, just before I came into this studio, I thought I saw that there is a report that will be imminent and they will deliver a copy to the Senate, which will they're going to keep it in a safe. What, it's going to be like, what, in the reserve room at the public library? You're going to check this out? I don't understand the whole thing. The Republicans got outfoxed from a political standpoint. I believe Dr. Ford is the carnage in the road on that, unfortunately. But what they're trying to do is make up for the fact that they got outfoxed politically, and it's not serving them well.
I will say, and you've also said the same thing, the Republicans were going to always ram this through because if they, the longer this goes, the less chance they have of doing it, especially as we get closer to the election day. But right. I'm going to put out the Republicans might not see the trap in front of them. The trap is there is a way to remove a Supreme Court justice. You can impeach them. You can actually yank them off the court.
Right.
If they run this guy through, and they clearly run them through, not run them through like, you know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but run him through is in the process and get him into the Supreme Court. If they they get him on the Supreme Court, I'll just change. If they get him onto the Supreme Court,
yes.
And there, you know, this investigation is just beginning on him.
Right.
Not next year, but the beginning of 2020, when the Republicans have an insane amount of Senate seats they have to try to hold on to. Mm-hmm. The House of Representatives goes back to the Democrats this election cycle. Let's just say that happens.
Okay.
They get a basically they have an investigation where they basically say we have more than enough evidence that Brett Kavanaugh lied repeatedly under oath, that he basically that they're the sexual let's say the sexual assault gets there's enough evidence to prove that there's a case there. They then bring up articles of impeachment in the House. Throw it to a Republican-controlled Senate to have them basically throw it aside. Needless to say, that is not this Kavanaugh mess for them. Sure, they might get one or two quick rulings that will give them, you know, pure joy. But the reality is, this could end up politically being a nightmare for them because all of a sudden in 2020, if that's what does happen, and that's a very viable option. I mean, I don't think I'm talking science fiction here. The Republicans could end up having Kavanaugh be a, not only drag them down this election cycle, but in 2020 as well.
The effect on this election cycle is uncertain because of the timing, because of the fact that let's say that there is no vote this week. I mean, for whatever reason, I believe Dr. Ford's lawyers were offering to turn some things over, but they'd need some time to do it. So now we're talking an additional quote unquote delay. I don't think that's the right term. I'd say extension of time, but regardless, and that was what you referenced earlier about turnover, all your notes, et cetera. So the longer that this goes on, if it's an open question, now McConnell is swearing it won't be, but if it's an open question on November 6th, that could inspire a lot of Republicans to show up who might not otherwise. If, however, the nomination goes forward to a vote and passes, yeah, then I think the Democrats are going to be more emboldened to show up in 2018, and if your scenario is correct, certainly 2020, because of the fact that Trump does not have coattails. People who vote for Trump are Trumpicans. You heard me before, and the audience heard me refer to those who wanted Barack Obama as very largely Obamacrats. When Obama was not on the ticket, he just didn't have the same pull. Trump not only doesn't have the same pull when he's not on the ticket, it would appear, but he underperformed a lot of Republican office holders. And I think it's because there's just a divergency here. He can stand alone, and that was the topic of my comment this morning on the radio. Trump's going to stand alone over here, and these other folks are going to have to pay the price because he may personally get people to vote for him, but it doesn't translate to these others. And again, there goes the Senate, to your point, in 2020.
And the Senate cannot turn away the articles of impeachment. They have to have a trial. If the, if the House sends them the file, the impeachment articles of impeachment, and they send them the information, they have to read that on the Senate floor. Can you imagine McConnell sitting there trying to find some way out of that? And there is no way out. I mean, he has to have a trial if the, the House sends it to him. And every Republican, I mean, I'm, my gut feeling would be, is you might even see, would Merrick Garland, or not Merrick Garland, Brett Kavanaugh resign his seat quickly just to try to get this passed and try to get another one in, another nominee in there. But then, of course, then they set themselves, this is why 2020 is the year, then they set themselves up for the Merrick Garland standard. And they themselves are going to have, just 4 years later, have to go against their own standard they established, which is also going to hurt them. I mean, it really is. The Democrats could end up playing Brett Kavanaugh. If he does get a, get approved, they could end up being the worst nightmare for the Republicans in 2020.
Well, in the same way that Harry Reid went nuclear option on federal judges, then Mitch McConnell used nuclear option on Supreme Court justices. I understand there's a distinction, but the point is, you use this technique, it can bite you. Similarly here, we're not going to discuss Merrick Garland because it's a presidential year. Well, what do you do in 2020 if there's a vacancy through any reason? It is exactly your point. But something that I think is interesting to watch with regard to Kavanaugh, I talked to some people far more intelligent than I who follow this sort of thing in Washington. They believe that the FBI notes will be the FBI notes. In other words, there's no conclusion. That's not the design point of it. They just bring information in. Jeff Flake will say, well, I called for the investigation and I don't see anything here in this last week's worth that changes my mind. I voted for him on the committee. I'm going to vote for him now. And then you can only lose either Collins or Murkowski. Well, what if Collins and Murkowski say, you know, I never have been on board with this. I don't like it. We're not voting for it. That would make it 50 against 49 in favor. And then Joe Manchin is standing out there.
I don't think I you want to know the truth is, I mean, I see a lot of stories all of a sudden trying to put Heitkamp and Manchin into this corner. The reality is they have a very easy out, saying, you know what, there are still some very legitimate allegations. And I think there is definitely a narrative being pushed by conservative elements that this is really about Manchin and Heitkamp. And the reality is it's not, because they're not in the majority. And the reality is I don't think that this vote against Kavanaugh would necessarily hurt them this time around that badly. I'll tell you what, we desperately got to take a break.
Sure.
Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. We'll briefly touch on Trump's idiot comments last night. We'll talk about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hey, what do you know about the song in the back of your mind?
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. By the way, Jeff, I want to mention we're going to have that interview that you did earlier. That's actually going to play in the 4 o'clock hour coming up here in just a few moments.
Ah, very good. With Tom Perez.
Tom Perez, the head of the DNC.
I just want to give you 10 seconds on why I keep mentioning Manchin. I don't think Heitkamp's in play, but there was a story that Manchin was talking with Murkowski, Collins, and Flake about voting as a block on the Kavanaugh nomination, and this was before last week's hearing, and that's why I keep mentioning him, because there was that association. But I can't imagine any Democrat is going to be the pivotal vote to put this man on the Supreme Court.
No, I don't. We can talk about the FBI's. I mean, the report out today that the White House did not clear the FBI to question Kavanaugh and Ford directly, which is okay if you're going to have an FBI investigation into this. You'd think that would be square one. But even details like Kavanaugh's buddy worked at a grocery store for a very short period of time, and mm-hmm. that actually plays into Ford's story. The FBI was not allowed to go to Safeway and find out exactly when Judge was working for them. I mean, details like that, which actually could help figure out if this did happen, there's clearly some time there. And then last night, I mean, there is embarrassing for a country, and then there is what happened last night. And in Mississippi, when Trump just, he could not control himself anymore, he was the heck with this, and he starts going after Dr. Ford. Not only does this give that prime example of why women don't come forward when they are sexually assaulted, because now you have the chance the president might use you as comedy material during a stump speech, but at the same time, this is just the latest. He made fun of POWs, war widows, the disabled, now a sexual assault victim. He truly is a disgusting human being.
With regard to the FBI interviewing Kavanaugh and Ford, since they already testified, that didn't throw me, but I take your point. As far as what the president did last night, I don't know that it's even going to help him with the base. I understand he's in Mississippi because they're scared to death of losing what's supposed to be a safe seat. I understand he's there riling up the base. I understand he can't help himself. And yet, I saw no humor in it. I saw no benefit to it. If anything, it is giving – I don't want to say it's giving more ammunition to people on the left, because people on the left pretty well have made up their minds. It's the independents who are going to determine this election. It's not only turnout of partisans, but it's the growing number of independents. And I don't know that that display helps with independents in any state for any race.
One final thing. Have you seen Christian Bale as Dick Cheney in the new movie Vice?
I saw a screen capture on Twitter. Yes.
Go watch the trailer. Oh my God. He is Cheney himself. But as you and I have both saw W down in 2000, when we were down there with the Iowa straw poll back that year, look at Sam Rockwell's version of W. Holy God. He nails him too. They all act exactly like those guys did. I saw the trailer and it's amazing.
Well, see, I don't do movies because, you know, I spend my nights preparing to talk to you
and
do work. And so we'll have to figure something out.
Well, I will say this, not since De Niro in Raging Bull is a guy going to win the Oscar just for what he's done to his body to make himself look like the character that he's portraying, because Christian Bale, Batman, he went the other way with it. It wasn't so much working out, more just kind of letting it all hang out. Go see that trailer. You'll appreciate it, okay?
I will do that. Yes, sir.
Jeff Stein, once again, Books at Common Good Books. We'll spotlight this interview. And, of course, look for the Iowa Politics Report at KXEL on SoundCloud as well. Jeff, thank you much. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you, Matthew.
Take care. And listen for Jeff's interview with Perez coming up here after the top of the hour news break. We are back tomorrow with Democrat of the Day. Until then, see ya.